All right, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Natalia.
And this is Till Death Do Us Part. All right, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Natalia.
And this is Till Death Do Us Part.
Okay, yay. So, as the universe would have it, we both got COVID on the exact same day last week.
How did that even happen?
Because it's us. I think it's just further proof that we belong together podcasting. Go through everything at the same time. Yeah. I feel better by now. How are you feeling?
I feel better. I have a lingering, like, weird cough. My taste and smell is still a little screwed up with some things, like with really weird random things. And, but I mean, I feel fine otherwise. Like I am leaving the house. I'm running errands.
Okay, good.
I'm glad I got vaccinated for sure.
Oh yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Absolutely. Was very mild overall. Like the first 3 days, just I felt like a zombie, but then I was fine. Excuse me. And at this point, I don't know if I sound like a little nasally. I have like still a little stuffy nose, but that's it. So, And that could just be anything, to be honest. Probably should dust my house. So,
right.
I'm just going to blame COVID. That's fine. Everything can get blamed on COVID from now on.
Do you remember, like, in 2008 when the economy crashed and everyone would blame, like the smallest inconvenience, like, oh, they didn't show up to the party. You know, it's just the economy. The economy right now is really tough. That's the new excuse is, it's just COVID. COVID right now.
I can't go to your party. Just COVID.
Just COVID.
Yeah. 2008, 2009, those were like hardworking years for me, and Ethan was really little, so I missed that. I wasn't on the internet for like 2 years, unless it was to do schoolwork. So I unfortunately missed that joke, but I say we blame COVID for everything forever.
Yeah.
All the time. My car breaks down, COVID.
COVID. It's just COVID. I just remember like talking to people about it could have been anything, and they'd be like, you know, I know it's just really hard right now with the economy and everything. And I would just be like, what? What do you mean the economy and everything? That's just like such a blank statement. Like,
right? How is that your excuse for not calling to wish me happy birthday?
Yeah, the economy.
So, I mean, okay, so you've been out. I have not been out yet. Today's going to be my last day, like, in here. So I haven't really, other than to soothe myself with other true crime podcasts and HBO, have not listened to any news. Have I missed anything? Has Russia taken over Ukraine yet?
So I mean, going out wise, I've done like grocery store pickup. I don't know if that really counts as going out, but.
I mean, it almost doesn't.
I don't know.
But I mean, unless you heard something juicy while you were out.
No, as soon as we went out, I was like, oh, this is the world. Hello, world. It's been nice. I haven't seen you in a while. Hello.
Yeah.
It's
me. I
wasn't
hearing any depressing news for a couple of days, and I'm okay with that. Yeah. I will say one thing. Is it pronounced, you know how I am with pronunciations, is it pronounced Kiev or Kiev? Do you know? Because I'm going to be honest. I've always pronounced it Kiev, and I thought I was right. But then before COVID happened and I was listening to NPR, they pronounced it Kiev. And now I'm questioning everything that I pronounce in life at all.
I always thought it was Kiev. Is it Kiev?
I guess we'll find out. If you guys know, Please write in and let us know. Is it Kiev or Kiev? I don't know.
It's like the quinoa thing.
Yep. And the acai. There's
too many vowels in that word.
Yeah. So, anyway, what else? What else is, nothing else is going on for me.
Oh my gosh. So there's nothing like spending like four months apart from your significant other to having to quarantine with them immediately when they get home. Let me tell you, it is, he's
inexperience. It's a certain kind of experience. Because it's like you went from zero to level 100 all at once. And not even like you were suddenly stuck 4 days together at your best selves. You're stuck 4 days together at your worst. Were the least patient, the most cranky, not feeling good.
Exactly. Not cute at all. I mean, I was sending you some of the updates on text message. I was dying laughing because I was starting to feel better, and I was laying in bed one night ready to go to sleep, and I was just laying there. I let out some sigh because I like had just blown my nose from COVID. And I just made this noise like, oh God, I'm over this illness. And Josh looks at me and he's like, do you remember when we were dating and first married or whatever, and you would not let me see you without makeup or your hair done? And I just looked at him and I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I was like, seriously, bro?
What was I thinking? Was that me? Are you sure that was me?
I was like, oh, my bad. Let me go fix myself.
Yeah, no. Or not.
But
yeah, no, way past the honeymoon stage. We're far beyond that.
But so there are lots of moments like that where I was just like, are you sure you want to go back to Texas? Or like, you know, just kidding.
Do you want to just go now for a little while? Just leave.
No, I'm glad he's home.
Good. Yeah, no, that's nice. Back together, and then you're feeling fine now, so you can go do fun stuff. And
leave the house.
Pictures of you guys coming back, like I loved all the pictures, the silos, the drinks, everything was just, so pleasant.
That was fun, nice. And then it was, you know, it was short lived. And honestly, like, even throughout COVID, like, I didn't really go out and do a ton of things like that at all. Like, go and hang out in crowds and stuff and stand in long lines to go.
Yeah,
and that's why, because there's COVID around. That's why you don't do things like that, Stephanie.
It has nothing to do with our anxiety around other humans. It's purely COVID.
Exactly. So let that be a lesson.
Well, all right. You want to jump into it?
Sure. Sounds good.
Well, do we have any housekeeping? Do we have any
The latest episode of Starvation Heights was just posted, and I listened to it again, and it was really good.
Yeah.
I'm like patting ourselves on the back because I think, I don't know, it was just a really good episode.
That's the vibe for this year. We are patting ourselves on the back for everything. I show up somewhere on time, I'm patting myself on the back. I remember to get gas before coming home, I'm patting myself on the back. Positive reinforcement is my vibe for this year. We did a great job.
Look at us go.
Speaking of, I mean, it's sort of housekeeping. Was speaking to an old friend of mine. We went to high school together. She was like a year younger than me, but I went to a very small school, so we were very much in each other's periphery. She has a podcast now that has to do with astrology. So I was just talking with her because she wants to do some kind of collaboration. And I was telling her, you know, the things that I like about her podcast and what I liked about her last episode. And one of the things I was complaining about for us was, you know, I feel like it's been such a struggle to find the right sound, to find the right room, to make it soundproof enough, to find the right mics and wires. And she's like, really? She's like, when I hear you guys sound great. And I was like, oh, okay. Pat on the back. Good job. We're okay. So
we're professionals. That's why.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Let us roll in. So for this week, I want to give a special trigger warning. And I'm going to be honest, most of the time when we give trigger warnings, I roll my eyes. You guys can't see me roll my eyes, but I roll my eyes because why are you here? It's a true crime podcast. You mm-hmm. are here for the gory horror that it is.
Mm-hmm.
However, this one in particular, please do not let your children listen to this. I would hesitate to even let like my teens listen to it. Grandma should not listen to this. So you've all been warned. This story has gruesome violence against women, also Indigenous Native American people and children.
Okay.
And before I jump in, I want to stress that I did a lot of research so that I could use the proper and non-offensive terms for the people who have lived in North America before anyone else got here. Because I know the terminology I grew up with is no longer politically correct, and it wasn't really good to start with. And yes, the terminology even now, it seems to change. And sometimes the preferences, depending on where you are in the world or where you are in the country, can be slightly different. But for all the articles that I could get my hands on where they interviewed actual Native Americans to ask them, what do you want us to call you? The general consent seems to be that Native American is the widely accepted term. They seem to be okay with that term because it implies that, yes, they're Native, they were here first, but also that, yes, they're American, they are here. They were the first American. So beyond that, they said secondarily, you can use the word Indigenous. Okay. So those are the two words that you'll hear me use in the story. And if I offend anyone of Native American descent, Indigenous descent, I sincerely offer advanced apologies. I have nothing but respect. And I do not mean to offend anyone. But I think I did a pretty good learning. Job.
Yeah, we're all learning and it's a process. And it's, you know, we're just, it's terms of the times.
Yes. Okay. So today I have a true crime story about the murder of Savannah LaFontaine Graywind. Savannah was a 22-year-old nursing student, a bright young woman with the goal she had of becoming a nurse. She was working in, like long-term care, homes for the elderly, but was also going to school so she could become a nurse. Very smart girl. And Savannah's heritage is of the Spirit Lake Tribe from North Dakota. In August of 2017, she was living in Fargo, North Dakota, in an apartment building with her parents. Her boyfriend of 7 years, Ashton Matheny, the two of them were so in love, and they were actually on the 1st of September going to be moving into their own apartment. Savannah, as well as Ashton, had very strong family ties in this Native American culture. So even though they didn't live on a reservation, they lived in an urban area, they had very strong tribal ties and the culture that promoted taking care of one another. So, you know, it was not anything depressing or shameful for her to be still living with her parents as an unmarried single woman. Like, that is their structure. Like, you live together, parents, grandparents, like the families are very close. So August 19th, 2017, Savannah was asked by her upstairs neighbor, Brooke Cruz, if she could assist in modeling for a sewing project. Brooke said she didn't have a mannequin and could Savannah please help so she could pin up a dress. And Savannah didn't really know Brooke, so she found the request strange. But Savannah, her personality just being so kind and generous, said, sure, I'll help you. She followed Cruz upstairs to her apartment. And in the apartment, Cruz pushed Savannah. Savannah fell and hit her head on a bathroom sink. And according to Cruz, was dead.
So Cruz, she hit her head and she died?
That's what Cruz said.
Okay.
We'll get there. Cruz's boyfriend, Brooke Cruz, was living with a man named William. It said it was pronounced Hain, even though it looks like Hohen. So Hain came home. He helped hide Savannah's body in a bathroom closet, where the police would fail to find her on two subsequent searches, both the day of the disappearance and the day after. Days later, Cruz and Hain dumped Savannah's body near a river where she was later found by kayakers. What I'm going to tell you is that entire story is a lie. It is the first version of events as told by Brooke Cruz herself to the authorities. But this is what actually happened, and this is the version that stood for trial. Cruz did go knock on Savannah's door to ask for help with a sewing project. And Savannah did willingly go upstairs to help her neighbor. However, the violence that Cruz employed was for a very specific goal, because Savannah was 8 months pregnant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So Cruz was convinced that a baby would tie her boyfriend to her. Apparently, Cruz and Hain argued, sometimes violently and very loudly, and the issue of Cruz, quote, not giving William a baby was a trigger for the couple. Earlier in 2017, Cruz had actually lied to Hain and told everyone she was pregnant. Obviously, a few months go by, it's obvious that there is no pregnancy, and Hain allegedly exploded, beat the shit out of Cruz, which he did often enough anyway, and he told her, get us a baby or else. I'm putting quotes around that. That's the alleged words that he used that Cruz testified to.
Okay.
She took that to mean that Hain would harm her if she did not produce a baby by whatever means necessary. I personally find it very unlikely that her only motivation was to avoid getting a beating from Hain, because he beat her to shit all the time anyway. So I really think Cruz was very jealous. She saw Savannah enjoying her youth, her beauty. She had a loving family, and she had this growing baby bump, and Cruz was very jealous.
Right.
So it just seems a little ridiculous that she did what she did only because she wanted to appease her boyfriend. The truth is, when Savannah went upstairs, Cruz suffocated her until she was unconscious. And while she was still alive, she used a box cutter to slice Savannah open and take the baby girl for herself.
Oh, Mike. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Okay. Savannah was not dead at that time. She was alive through the C-section. Cruz said that there were times, I'm assuming the pain itself, you know, snapped her back a couple of times, and then she would immediately pass out again from pain and, I'm assuming, blood loss as well.
Yeah.
As this is taking place, like right as it's taking place, allegedly, Hayne arrived at the apartment, walked in, and Cruz is there. There's blood everywhere. She's holding this baby. Savannah's on the floor, and she says, "Help me." Hayne took a rope, put it around Savannah's neck, strangling her, and supposedly said, well, if she wasn't dead before, she's dead now.
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm. Although the details are scarce, because they don't exactly tell us how Cruz managed to, like, get Savannah down unconscious enough to start cutting her open, there's one of two possibilities. A lot of people believe that Hayne was there during the murder and helped hold Savannah down. The other, I suppose, possibility is that Cruz put like a plastic bag over Savannah's head until she passed out and then performed the C-section. This is because the medical coroner testified later, there were no head injuries. So that story about her falling, hitting her head, that wasn't true. And there wasn't any other head injury that would have been like she knocked her over the head with something. So either somebody else held her down or she was suffocated till she was subdued.
Yeah.
I
was just saying, like, I wonder, even if she thought she suffocated someone, I mean, it takes a lot to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it takes a lot longer than people think. So she could have thought she did it and, mm-hmm. like, made her pass out. And then she came to when she was basically having surgery performed on her.
Yes. Yes. That is my feeling as well, that Cruz could have thought the job was done. She probably didn't anticipate Savannah waking back up, but she was not really, you know, she wasn't actually dead yet. The other thing is Cruz had done a lot of research into like home births and anatomy books and things like that. And it appears that she was aware that she couldn't kill the mother and then deliver the baby a long time later. Like it had to pretty much be done right away, because if you waited, then the baby dies as well. Mommy's not breathing, baby's not breathing. It's the way it is.
Right.
So it could even be that she knew Savannah was still alive, but that she just needed to get her down long enough to start cutting her up. So when Savannah had gone upstairs, she had actually texted her mom to let her mom know, A, that she was going upstairs, and B, that when she got upstairs, that there was a very creepy vibe. And her mom actually texted her like, well, why don't you come back downstairs? I don't like her. But Savannah never answered the text. However, because her family knew where she was and knew that she shouldn't have been gone a long time, they immediately let the police know something was up. I think her father first went and knocked on the door and Brooke Cruz said, no, she's not here. And then, like, maybe another 20 minutes went by and the family was, like, not fucking around. They did the right thing. I think they called the cops at 4:30. The police were there at 5. So they were on top of it. That same day, the police searched Cruz's apartment. They did not find the body, which, again, had been shoved into the bathroom closet. A big question is, how did they clean up all of that blood? Unless this was premeditated, A, and B, I strongly feel that her boyfriend was present. Because there just does not seem like there was enough time within an hour for her to knock her out, perform a C-section, clean up all the blood, put the body away, and then, you know, the cops are coming in and they don't find, like, even a drop.
How did no one else, like, hear anything? Because, I mean, did Savannah, like, scream?
Apparently not. No one said anything about hearing sounds at all. Not downstairs, not the other apartments. It could be that the other apartments, this is like in the middle of the day. So people maybe weren't home from work. So, and because she was only 8 months pregnant, my educated guess would be that the baby's lungs, although pretty well formed, you know, she would still have been considered a preemie and probably would have had a very weak cry.
Mm.
You know, or it's even possible that the baby from the traumatic experience just wasn't crying a lot. Who knows? But nobody heard a baby. Nobody heard screaming.
Okay.
So Hain has always stated that he was not involved in Savannah's murder. But of course, the timeline casts serious doubts over that. Hain is an absolute piece of trash. He did admit to hiding Savannah's body and later dumping her body. So I don't believe a word he says. Uh-huh. May the universe painfully exterminate this piece of garbage. Amen. And lest someone feel compassion for Brooke Cruz, let me tell you, she was not some sad, barren woman who was like longing for motherhood her whole life. She was 38 at the time of the murders. This is not the case. Cruz had 7 children.
7, okay.
Yeah, 7. None of whom were in her custody. She had zero contact with any of her children, and she was sued repeatedly for failure to pay child support.
Jesus.
So Brooke can go right to the fuck you corner. This was not about you wanting a child. You had children.
Yeah, why did she want Savannah specifically? Was it just jealousy of her?
I think a lot of it was surrounding this idea of this beautiful, jealous woman and taking that away from her. Clearly, both Hain and Cruz have serious mental illnesses. They're severely fucked up in the heads besides being jerk-offs. So I think part of it was her jealousy of Savannah. And I think in her mind, a baby is like a fresh slate. Whereas if she had gone back for any of her other kids, like it would have been, in her mind, like too much work to repair those relationships. Like easier to just have a fresh start with this new baby. And she had not had any children with Hain. So I guess in her mind, that was her way of bonding them together.
Okay. Crazy. I mean, I get it. I just don't understand it, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It. And as far as Hain's motivation, because why would you walk into that and not run out screaming and call the cops? Yeah. They think that... Because remember, Brooke had told all these people, like their families, that she was pregnant. So the thinking is that although Hain knew that she wasn't pregnant, the outside world still thought she was pregnant and homebound, like bedbound at home. So like they didn't see her. They didn't have to explain why she wasn't showing yet. And they think that William Hain went along with it because he wanted to save face. Which is also extremely bizarre, but that's their rationale? Is he, because all his family and coworkers and stuff thought that he was having a kid.
And so he never corrected anyone. Seen her at all and been like, she isn't showing?
Mm-mm. Not that I could tell. It seems like she didn't really have a lot of a life outside being alone in this apartment and getting beat up by her boyfriend. It doesn't seem like she had like good family support or close friends. It seems like he's more the one that had like the social life, the buddies that he'd go out drinking with at work. It was his parents that he didn't want to come clean to. So, yeah. So the police failed to find Savannah's body. It is also extremely mystifying to me how they missed the actual baby. Cruz later said the baby was hidden under blankets during the searches. And I think, although this was never confessed to, a lot of people think she probably drugged the baby with like Benadryl to keep the baby quiet, you know, during this time until they could figure out what they were going to do.
Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah. On August 21st, so 3 days after the murder, the couple had, they had removed Savannah's body from the bathroom closet, and William had hollowed out a dresser to make it into like a fake dresser, put the body in there, wrapped up in plastic wrap, duct tape, blankets, and then just pasted the front of the drawers back on. But it essentially was a crate for them to carry her body out without anyone seeing something shaped like a body.
Oh, okay.
So 3 days after the murder, they carry this dresser downstairs. They drive to the nearby Red River and they dump the body. While the police didn't find anything in the apartment, they kept digging at the couple because they felt, A, something was not right about these two. And also, this is the last known whereabouts of Savannah. So, like, this, it has to start here somewhere. They went to the roofing company where William worked and spoke to his coworkers, and his coworkers stated that, oh, he's not here at work because he's at home. They just had a new baby. So the police, when they got that information, were able to now get a warrant. They did not have to announce themselves. They just busted into the apartment and found the baby in the couple's apartment. They immediately arrested both Brooke Cruz and William Hain. However, at this time, police had no idea where is Savannah. In the beginning, Cruz made up all these wild stories. First, she tried saying that Savannah birthed the baby in her apartment and gave the baby to Cruz so that, like, she could run off and have a fun life. This is utter bullshit. Obviously, Savannah had been very diligent about her obstetric care. She was well supported by her family, like financially safe. She had plans to move into a brand new apartment with the baby's father. Everybody said Savannah was excited. They had even picked out a name for the baby. They named the baby Hazley Joe. So none of her actions demonstrated that she was looking to run, that she had cold feet. And even if she did decide to run off, which is wild, why would she choose to give birth in a stranger's apartment, no medical care, and hand the baby over to some crazy person she barely knows? She easily could have given, and her parents have said, you know, when she got pregnant and we talked about all the options, you know, we made it clear that if she didn't want the baby, we would take the baby and raise the baby. So why, you know, if she wanted to leave, she could have left the baby with her parents. So obviously Cruz goes through all of these stories. Then it's the story about her, you know, she fell and hit her head and I just didn't want the baby to die. The cops aren't buying any of it. 3 days into the interrogation is when the kayakers find Savannah's body by the river. And this is when Brooke finally changes her tune and ultimately states the events as they happened with the C-section, the strangulation. One big point of, I don't know if it's a point of contention or a sticky point that made it difficult to really pin these guys to a harder sentence, was that the coroner could not determine if it was the blood loss or the strangulation that killed Savannah.
Oh, that's really sad.
Right. So as a technicality, if Savannah died before, the rope was put around her neck. I mean, she did have a rope put around her neck. They saw evidence of the rope around her neck. They just couldn't tell which came first. And because of that, they were able to sort of stick by this story of, well, we didn't want to kill her. We just wanted the baby. Anyway, Brooke Cruz, it was a very, everything, once this happened, these people went right into trial. People wanted to see them get locked up right away. Brooke Cruz pled guilty to charges of conspiracy to commit murder, conspiracy to kidnap, and providing false information to the police. I don't know why she didn't get charged with anything else. I don't know, manslaughter, mutilation of a body.
I don't know anything.
I mean, the kidnapping is in there, but that, I felt like the charges didn't reflect the amount of like violence that this woman used, like to cut someone open while they're alive. However, they did give her a life sentence without the possibility of parole. So it's fine. I'll leave that alone. After her trial, when, you know, she's allowed to say whatever she wants to say before they drag her out, she said, I have absolutely no reason for what I did. I'm very sorry. I deserve every day that I spend in jail. And that was it. Say what you will about whether she was really sorry, but she did not try to fight her way out of this case in any way. Like, she pled guilty from the top.
Okay. I mean, I don't know how I feel about that. It's just weird.
I know. It's kind of like, okay, bye. William Hain, on the other hand, he was charged with conspiracy to commit murder, conspiracy to commit kidnapping, and providing false information to the authorities. That son of a bitch pled not guilty to the conspiracy to commit murder. He adamantly denied having anything to do with it. He said, absolutely, Savannah was dead. You know, he even said, I didn't put the rope around her neck, that was Cruz that did that. So he ended up pleading guilty only to committing kidnapping and providing false information. And although he was sentenced to life imprisonment with the possibility of parole, that sentence was appealed and then overturned by the North Dakota Supreme Court. I read through a lot of the court stuff trying to find a good reason for this sentence to be overturned. They basically, and this is not a good explanation, but what the Supreme Court said is that when he was sentenced, the judge labeled him as a special classified form of dangerous, and that was unfair, that it was that the judge had overstepped boundaries in like what they were legally allowed to give for those crimes. And that because he didn't get charged with the conspiracy to commit murder, right, only the kidnapping and the false information, that he could not get life in prison. So, weird.
Okay, I mean,
that fucker only got 20 years, and let's be honest, he'll probably do less than half.
Yeah, he'll be out on parole.
Surely. The first time he will be up for parole will be when Hazley Joe is starting high school. And her family's terrified and has obviously, you know, been following his case along so that they can make whatever statements they need to make to keep him behind bars. But only time will tell where that's headed. So the photos of Savannah's boyfriend at the trial absolutely broke my heart. It was so clear in his pain is just right on his face. It is just a picture of true grief. He was so in love with her, and the way he holds that baby, it's just, he's like a really good, honest man. And you could tell it hurt him so much when he finally had to hear during the trial exactly what happened with like the box cutter. He just completely broke down in court. It was so hard for him. Together with Savannah's parents, Ashton is raising the baby girl, Hazley Joe. Aww. There is a GoFundMe set up if anyone wants to contribute to the cost of raising this beautiful little girl who didn't get to know her mother. Before I conclude the story, there's one, I hesitate to call it a silver lining. I always feel like that's such a dumb thing. Like, oh, out of this mess, we got this little one good thing. Because I don't think the loss of this life is worth it. You know what I mean? Like, there's no comparison. But her death ended up prompting a change in the law in regards to how law enforcement handles missing and murdered Indigenous persons. On October 10th of 2020, Savannah's Act was signed into law, and I'm going to give just a brief summary of what it accomplishes. Okay. It requires the Department of Justice to have cultural sensitivity training for law enforcement officers, because up until now, Native Americans have reported that they did not feel law enforcement authorities gave the appropriate amount of attention or concern to their reports. In addition, law enforcement must conduct specific outreach to tribes and tribal organizations, and they must provide support, including technical support, to the tribal councils during investigations. The act also improves tribal access to the federal crime information databases, and the act created standardized protocols for responding to cases of missing and murdered Native American women in particular, because, and I don't have all the statistics in front of me because I'm COVID, but Native American, and specifically Native American females, are murdered at an obscenely higher percentage than any other group, even more than, African Americans, Black Americans. They are 10 times more likely to be killed than another female in this country. They were talking about, shocking and also really sad. Like, when you really get into these cases that have to do with Native Americans, you see how much that racism is still alive. Yeah. And it hasn't gotten as much media attention as like Black Lives Matter. But they are moving and taking steps, like with Savannah's Act, to try and build a better system, because there's also apparently a lot of trouble with what the tribal council can enforce as law on their land and what police can do and what they can do if you cross those. And the law becomes very specific if the perpetrator is white or if the perpetrator is also Native American. and if the victim is white or also Native American. And when you see all of that verbiage and discrepancies and the dividing up of what's fair, you can plainly see that these people have, since we ever got into this country, have been beaten down and just not helped at all.
I mean, it just goes to show, even now, for me, even, like, how it just is so surprising to me that things like that, I always feel like those are things that should be happening, like, 50, 60 years ago. But yeah, this is going on now.
Now. Right, right. And one of, I'll put in the links. There was a very good website called Talk Murder With Me that really gave a lot of detail and pictures on Savannah's case. I'm going to link the congress.gov website that links specifically to Savannah's bill, if anyone wants to look at that. And in the podcast I was listening to, I think it's Fetal Abductions. They have a whole podcast just on fetal abductions, which I find horrifying. But after Savannah's case, I had to stop and just focus on Savannah's case because I was like, I can't go any further with this. But what the podcast was saying was, you know, remember when we were hearing, or I mean, sometimes you'll still hear about, you know, all the boundaries that they're trying to redraw and the pipelines going through the lands that the Native Americans want taken out and redirected. You know, part of that issue is that it has formed a lot of transient communities around these pipelines.
Yes.
And people will go on a 6-month contract, whatever, come in and out. And when they're there and they have money, it's drugs, sex workers, and they have a lot of violence, yes. And because the laws were so terrible at like enforcing the law if it's done on tribal land, only 13% of the rapes on the reservation, I think that was the quote for the year 2014, only 13% of the rapes made it to court.
Yeah, it was just, there's so many people, I mean, in a little town where there's maybe, like, one or two cops, you know.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Hang on, the puppies are going outside. Sorry.
No, that, you gotta go check and see what that is. Stay sexy. Don't get murdered. Go check that out.
No, I was just saying I remember because my uncle,
these guys they knew that they would just go onto the land, rape these indigenous women, and basically without repercussion.
Yeah, because I mean, these towns were overwhelmed. There wasn't enough housing for people. Mm-hmm. They like would pull up their own trailers and live there.
Yes. Yeah, they made their own little like camps.
Town. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely going to have a lot of elements of crime and a lot of what do you do when that crime is committed and then that person's gone. Sometimes the company doesn't even have, like, the right names. These people go under all sorts of, you know what I mean? Like, tracking down the criminals becomes a problem. So, you know, there's a lot that still needs to be done so that this can stop happening. We just should not have that kind of disparity among people in general. Like, a person is a person, white, black, brown, purple, I don't care. Like, if you're killed, you should be treated the same, no matter what your job was, no matter what your lifestyle was, you know, no matter what your race is. Like, it's terrible. And I know that with Black Lives Matter and among Hispanic and Asian communities, it's the same thing, higher percentages. But if you go into it, and I found a lot of interesting stories when I was digging around, I'll probably come back to some more indigenous crime stories, because there is a lot. And I'll come back with some percentages, but it really is like so disproportionately high. Like, you couldn't even say that it's like a bump in the chart or in the math or whatever. It's like a glaring, obvious lack of the system in protecting these people.
Yeah, it's so shocking. And it's just sad that, I mean, if we can put a man on the moon, it's 2022. Yeah. Why can't we figure out to, like, protect these women or just people in general?
Yeah, just protecting people in general, or, you know, not being racist in general, guys. Like, how is that still a thing? I will put up pictures. Hazley Joe is the most adorable little girl. There are pictures of her even at like her mom's grave. I'm not going to put those up, but I am going to put pictures up of her with her dad and with her grandparents. It seems like they're doing a really like the best job that they could do to make sure that she has a very happy life. So, you know, good for them. And I hope that they are always able to keep her safe. I hope that piece of trash, Hane, just does not get out of jail. I don't know. Maybe someone will kill him while he's on the inside. Maybe, like, maybe something like that might happen. I could hope. Right? Oh, just terrifying. And, you know, now that it's lucky, lucky's the wrong word, but she could have easily have killed the baby. It is the layers and the way those muscular and fat layers are stretched out over the uterus. You could easily cut into the fetus. It's mind blowing, but the baby was 100% fine. Thank God. But easily it could have been two people dead and not just one.
Oh,
so yeah, absolute that's crazy.
How she went, like the mother, Savannah.
I know. And, you know, she was having those moments of consciousness and the fear, not even for her own life, but the fear of like, what are they going to do with my baby? You know, like that's absolute terror. I cannot imagine something more terrifying than being afraid of what's going to happen to your child.
And you can't do anything. Bananas. Because your lower half of your body is.
All your organs are hanging out. You're bleeding out, you know, and that's why I could only do the one episode. When I saw that there was more, like a whole podcast just for fetal abduction, I was like, I got to take that in pieces because that breaks my heart. That's so just diabolical. Just like the most bizarre, like as a person to think I'm going to take you, not just kidnap your kid. I'm going to take it like out of your body and pretend it's my baby. Gross. So that is the story of Savannah Graywind. May she rest in peace.
I kind of like that name, Paisley. I don't know. It's
Hazley Joe. I think it's so cute.
I love that it's unique and it's not like a normal.
Yeah, it's not like a common name. It's like an uncommon name. Because I've heard Hazley before, but like maybe once. Yeah. So, and she seems to, like, if you look at pictures, she's always, like, doing these little poses and got these little, like, sunglasses on. Like, she's got a little sass in her. Like, she's just so adorable. Like, she looks like a Hazley. Like, very, very beautiful little girl.
Aw. Well, I love that she's just a happy little girl and she deserves it. And,
we just need to, I think, overall, and I think it's part of, for us going through these podcasts, it's sort of just built in for us. But for everyone, people should become more educated or more aware of what's going on in other parts of the country, not just what's on mainstream news. Because I'm going to admit, I didn't know a lot of what I was reading, you know, and I understand it's hard in a world that seems to be on fire to care about everything. It seems exhausting and like it's not possible. But just to at least have a little information so that you're not completely ignorant. Even if you feel you can't do anything about it, you can educate yourself. Like that's the bare minimum, to at least know that these struggles are real and present. Because I know I've heard a lot of people, adults, talk, not even like they talk about Native Americans in a racist way, but talk about them in a way that like, oh, well, the government gives them everything now. They don't have to pay for anything anymore. They have it made. And that's not the right story, guys. That's not the rhetoric. That's not it. That's not it. So just look into it so that you can educate yourself about what it's really like for people living different lifestyles than ourselves, so that we can have empathy for one another as humans and not colors.
Yes, because I feel like this issues like the with the police and the Native American them not being able to get reports or police involvement and support and things like that.
Yeah.
That's such an old story.
Yes. It feels like it's tired and it needs to stop. Like it really needs to stop. I feel that in reading it, in a lot of ways, it reminds me of the struggles that sex workers are having. Like even now, like this is such a hot topic right now, is sex workers and how underprotected. I mean, for decades, for centuries, like they were just always considered less than, or considered that because that was their line of work, that they were, you know, quote, asking for it. And oh, that's a high risk lifestyle. Let's not victim blame. Mm-hmm. Let's actually try to make it so people are safe and implement programs so that people are safe. Take people's reports seriously, you know, as far as law enforcement. I mean, these guys responded pretty quickly, but the general feel is that a lot of times when these women are reported missing or they're murdered, that the cases go cold or that it's not followed up on, that like they just disappear and nobody ever finds out what happens. It's
just another indigenous woman missing. Big deal.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
Or the reservation will handle it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That, you know, it's not my business is their sort of attitude. Up until now, seems like anyway, for the most part. So
there's a lot of learning we can do. There's a lot of empathy we can have. I mean, I'm not asking anyone to just care, but I mean,
just learn about it. Because if you're like us, we grew up with very whitewashed history. We've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. Our educational system does not, even now when they teach kids about, well, you know, we took the land from the Native Americans. They don't get really into it. And they do not get into, well, what happened after that? It seems like after like the 1800s, nobody talks about, well, what was happening to the Native Americans? Where were they living? Where were they working? Did it get better? Surprise, it didn't. But it seems like there's this empty space, at least in my education, where after learning about the colonists and Thanksgiving, you know, Native Americans weren't talked about. So, you know, I just feel that in general, we should just educate ourselves. This was their land before it was ours. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long your family's here. Unless you are part Indigenous person, we're second place. And we should be a priority if we're going to take pride in being American to own American history and know American history.
All
and
of the, history.
The treatment of all its people. Yeah. The history of for all of these people and their struggles. We can at least make the effort to be aware and not bury our heads in the sand. So that's our lecture for today, guys.
You're welcome. Do you know, okay, there's nothing wrong with doing a Google and looking things up. If you were to look into my search history or into Stephanie's mind, I am a 30-something-year-old woman, and every single time I write down Wednesday, I still go Wednesday.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes. When I am spelling it out, I do the same thing. Stephanie, remember when we first started the podcast and we were clueless about where to start?
I'm pretty sure we're all clueless until you, but lucky for you, I knew the perfect place to start, Anchor.
We are lucky that we found Anchor, and even more lucky that we found each other. But our listeners don't need luck. Now that they know, if they want to start their own podcast, Anchor is the way to go.
Anchor is everything you need to have a podcast. With both a desktop and mobile app, we can record, edit, and launch all of our content within one program. Natalia and I think of Anchor as our daddy.
Daddy Anchor gives us one easy place where we can build all the episodes, and it automatically launches to all the best listening platforms like Spotify and Apple. It's my favorite kind of relationship. Anchor gives me everything I want, and it's free.
When you're ready to start a podcast, Anchor is going to make it easy. And then you will all realize how two armchair detectives like us managed to pull this off. Available on the App Store, Google Store, basically anywhere where you do a Google search, you can find it right there.
Yeah. Well, and if we educate ourselves better and make it so that the educations of the generations after us are more complete, then we start filling that gap. That gap can become smaller. You know, it becomes more common knowledge, and it becomes something that then kids can grow up with information. And, you know, they're the ones that we're leaving this dumpster fire to. They're going to have to pick it up. So let's give them the tools they need.
Mm-hmm.
Not whitewash everything. That's all. Sorry, I got back up on my soapbox.
Here we are.
Here we are, guys. Stay safe out there. And we'll see you guys next time.
All right. We'll see you.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Hey everyone, I wanted to jump on here real quick and let everyone know how they can get a hold of us. Of course, we are on all social media channels. We're on TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. If you want to send us a message, tilldeathdoaspartpodcast@gmail.com. And we're much more active on Instagram, tilldeathdoaspartpodcast. If you have sent us a message and we haven't either responded or heard back from us, do not feel bad. It is not your fault. It's Natalia's fault. And with that being said, definitely like, follow, subscribe, review, share, all those fun things. See you later.